Okay, so this morning we're going to be speaking about testifying what the blood of Jesus has done for you and for me. Now, that's quite a vast topic to speak about, and I hope that during the course of this message this morning, that it'll open up the things a little bit more for you guys. And give you a little bit more understanding into the topic. It really has for me, and I've had to go over it a few times, and that's why I say I hope you guys have got your notebooks with you and you're ready to take some notes, because you're definitely going to need them. So, firstly, in order to testify what the blood of Jesus has done for us, we need to know what the word says the blood of Jesus does for me and for you. So, do you know what the word says the blood of Jesus does for you? So, we know that the word says that we have overcome Satan by the blood of Jesus. We have overcome Satan by the blood of Jesus. And I just want to ask you guys, will you turn to Revelations 12, 11? I'm using the NLT version. I'm just going to give you a few seconds to get there. Okay, so Revelations 12, 11. And they have defeated him. Who's him? He is Satan. So they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. So let me just go back to that first part. It says there, and they have defeated him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now him, Satan. This precious blood is to be used for overcoming and consequently for holy warfare. So I'm just going to say that again. This precious blood is to be used for overcoming and consequently for holy warfare. Now imagine this. If we do not use it to that end, we dishonor it. Think about that for a little bit. I'm going to say it again. If we do not use the blood of Jesus to that end, we dishonor it. You know that sank deep for me, eh? When I was reading this and when I was going through my notes and when I was preparing, that really sank deep for me. When Satan comes against you, are you testifying to Satan personally what the word says the blood of Jesus does for you and for me? Are you? Think in some instances we tend to try and hide away. In some instances, we tend to try and take him on in our own strength. But you know what? We should be testifying to Satan personally what the living word says the blood of Jesus does for you and for me. We need to know what the blood of Jesus does for us. I mean, do we really know? And we need to make sure that we are drawing from that blood bank and getting it into our lives daily. Are we getting that into our lives daily? So now, if we have a look in the Old Testament, I'd like you guys to go to Exodus 12 and it's 21 to 27. I'm just going to be reading from the NLT version again. So then Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, go pick out a lamb or a young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin, then take a bundle of hyssop branches, dip it into the blood, brush the hyssop across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses, and no one may go out through the door until the morning. No one. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on top, on the top and sides of the door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. Remember these instructions. And these instructions are a permanent law that you and your descendants must observe forever. When you enter the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to observe this ceremony. Then your children will ask, what does this ceremony mean? And you will reply, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord. For he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt. And though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families. And when Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground and worshipped. So now we saw here, the father of each family had to kill a lamb and catch its blood in a basin. Was that blood effective in the basin? No, it wasn't. So they had to take hyssop and transfer the blood from the basin using the hyssop to where the family lived and strike it to the lintel and two doorposts, but never on the threshold, as though they were never allowed to walk over the blood. But going back, the blood is in the basin. It is useless. We need to be drawing from that blood. So when they had done that, when they had taken the hyssop and they put it onto the doorpost and onto the lintel, they were safe behind the blood. But in order to be safe behind the blood, they had to be obedient and stay behind it. Not exit, not go out the door, they had to stay behind it. So now we need to be applying the blood to ourselves. So as we've read there in the Old Testament how they did it, we need to be applying the blood of Jesus to ourselves and to our families. Now by applying the word and what the word tells us the blood of Jesus does for us, we apply that to our lives. Now, the word also says that the blood of Jesus' protection over us is based on our obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. As they had to be obedient with the blood during the Passover by striking it on the doorposts and the lintels, we need to be obedient to enable us to apply for that protection over our lives through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you guys if we can turn to 1 Peter 1:2. And it's also the NLT version. I'm just going to give you a few seconds to get there. So 1 Peter 1:2. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him. You have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. May God give you more and more grace and peace. So we know that there's perfect protection in the blood, but it is for the obedient only. So how do we enter God's perfect protection? By proclaiming his living word over our lives constantly. Do we proclaim his living word over our lives constantly, in every situation, in every circumstance we face? It is our testimony, and if we do not say it, it will not be effective. I'm going to repeat that. If we do not say it, it will not be effective. If you guys can turn to Psalm 91, we're going to be going through 1:1-2. And this is also coming from the NLT version. Psalm 91:1-2. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. I'm just going to read that part again. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. So he said that. That's why he says there, this I declare about the Lord. That is words that he has spoken. So we see there in verse 2, this I declare about the Lord. If you do not say it, you do not have it. We need to be speaking these things over our lives. We need to be testifying these things over our lives. We need to be using the living word of God over our lives. So the words of our testimony will be making it effective in our lives. Now, don't you want the living word to be effective in your life? I sure do. I'm sure most of you do. You know, by applying that living word over our lives, we also learn to apply the living word over God, over other people's lives when we pray for them, when we speak to them, when we minister to them. And we can also use our testimony by the things we speak over our lives and what happens in our lives to have an impact in other people's lives. If we can turn to Ephesians 1:7, this version is the NIV version that I'm going to be reading for you guys this morning. So I'll say it again. It's Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood. So in him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Excuse me. So in Exodus we saw they used hyssop to apply the blood. Now we apply the blood by saying his word, by testifying his word over our lives, all the time, every day. You know, if you sit and you think about it, if you really have to look back, even if just you look back at this week that we've gone through as an example, now, even if I look back at the week that I've gone through and I think about it, you know, how many times when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, how many times have I actually testified his word over my life and over the situations that I faced in this week? Think about it. How many times have you used the living word of God? How many times have you proclaimed it over your life? And I think in most instances, we can all say it's not enough. Like I say, we tend to look at a situation and try and climb over it ourselves. And in some instances, we might be able to go under it as long as we're using the word of God. You know, God takes us through things in such miraculous ways when we apply his living word to our life. When we allow him to enter our lives. We allow him to enter by applying that word all the time. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses me and you from all sin. It continually cleanses us from all sin. So there is another provision that has been made for us by the blood of Jesus that not many people are aware of. Not many are aware of it. And I'm quite sure that you would like to know what that is this morning. This is quite interesting for me. I never saw it from that perspective. So I'm going to open it up a little bit more. Now, we're going to be turning for this part. We're going to be turning to Hebrews 12:22-24. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. So it's Hebrews 12:22-24. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous, ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people. And to the sprinkled blood, we read that part again. And to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness, instead of crying out for vengeance, like the blood of Abel. So before we get into that, I just want to let us turn to Genesis 4, 1 to 15, just so that we can have this fresh in our thought pattern when we're going through it. Most of us know the story, but I'm just going to read it for you guys. So this is Cain and Abel. So I'm reading from 1 to 15. Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother named Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of the crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the first lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother, Abel, and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where's Abel?" And Cain responded, "I am my brother's guardian." But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you. No matter how hard you work, from now on you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth." And Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land and from your presence, and you have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me." The Lord replied, "No, for I will give a sevenfold punishment to whoever kills you." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. So now, as we saw, as we saw in the story, Cain was jealous, and Cain killed Abel. And when the Lord asked him, he said he doesn't know. And the Lord said to him, "But I can hear your brother's blood crying out for vengeance." Now, as Abel's blood is crying out for vengeance, the blood of Jesus is mediating on our behalf. It's crying out to God on our behalf. You know, when you actually sit and you think about that, it actually brings tears to my eyes when I sit and I think about that. And that happens every day. It happens all the time. You know, the blood of Jesus was sprinkled on our behalf in the Holy of Holies before the very presence of God. It wasn't just sprinkled anywhere. It was sprinkled before the very presence of God. You know, so if I have to go back to where I started and I said there, imagine this, if we do not use the blood of Jesus to that end, we dishonor it. And then you go back to this statement where it says here that the blood of Jesus was sprinkled before our Lord Jesus Christ, before God, on our behalf. You know, it draws deep inside you when I read those words. You you know, if we want to apply the full effectiveness of God's word, we need to start understanding God's word properly. We need to start using it in our lives. We need to start proclaiming it in our lives. We need to start testifying God's word in our lives. We need to start testifying God's word in other people's lives. In the circumstances they face, in the circumstances we face, maybe they don't understand how to do it. Are we showing them how to do it? Are they able to look at us and see that we are doing it? I just want to read that part one more time. The blood of Jesus was sprinkled on our behalf in the Holy of Holies for the very presence of God. And the blood of Jesus is speaking in God's presence on my behalf, on your behalf at this very moment. And every moment going forward. Every moment going forward. It speaks on our behalf. So, I want to just leave this with you. We need to be testifying daily what the blood of Jesus has done for us. And we do this by using and by proclaiming the living word of God. So I want to tell you today, speak it, say it, use it. Otherwise, we're taking it for granted. And we're not doing the full justice that it deserves. Amen. As I finish this now, I also just wanted to say to you guys, you know, when we had home group on Friday, we were speaking about hope. And this draws so close to that as well. You know, when we have hope in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and when we focus all our hope on these things, we can go through what the world is going through now. We can go through with hope, faith, and love. By taking this word, by testifying the blood of Jesus over our lives, over other people's lives, that hope becomes so real in our lives. That love becomes so real in our lives. And that faith starts to work in our lives and others. So I want to ask you for this week ahead. Make a difference. Make a difference in other people's lives. Even if it is just them seeing you proclaiming the living word of God over your life, make a difference. Amen. Thank you, Arthur.